good evening. It's nice to be here. Up in Clyde, we're leaving. We thank you very much for coming along to our evening meeting. I want to thank you actually for singing out. It's nice to stand on a platform and to see people, hear people singing, and to see people enjoying singing as well. I think it's a dreadful testament when we stand and we see people singing or not singing or singing rather glibly. Unusual. It just sprang into my mind when I was standing there. I want to remind you of a Chinese proverb. So I'm sorry it's not from the scripture. It says that a bird doesn't sing because it's happy. A bird sings because it's got a song. And that's the same with us. We sing because there's a new song we put into our mouth. And that's why we sing, not to entertain ourselves, but to bring praise to our God. And it's great to stand and to sing with the people of God. I want to do some verses, please, in the book of Romans in chapter 10. You have to excuse my voice, but for the heavy week of Bible exhibition in Plains, and I don't know if I was shouting at the children or not, but my voice is a little bit funny this evening. Romans and chapter 10. Recently, over the past few, I suppose since the start of this year, I've been very burdened and challenged with regard to the gospel. I think, and I feel that in myself, we have become very bogged down in the way we preach the gospel. Now, I am not standing up here, I'll just say it right at the very beginning, I'm not standing up here and saying publicly that we should change the way we preach the gospel. That's nonsense. The verse, or the two words that are here in front of me, is what I 100% agree with. Preach Christ. And that's what we should be doing, preaching Christ. But I do think that sometimes the way that we do it, or the way that we continue to do it, is, well, sometimes it leaves a lot to be desired. I'm speaking to my own heart. I'm challenging myself and my attitude toward the gospel. And I want to read some verses, please, in John chapter 10. Well-known gospel verses, I'm sure you agree with me. But John 10, verse 1. Romans 10, I apologize. You're a Roman anyway, so that's fine. Romans 10, verse 1. Rhythm, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a great zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse number 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's just the verses I want to leave with this evening from Romans. There is no doubt that 2013, the year that we are living in, is a dark age, and we shouldn't be surprised at that. Sometimes I think that the way we speak to each other, it's almost a surprise that we're living in such a dreadful day and age. Well, that is the day and age that we're living in. And if you read through Timothy's epistles, you will find that we are told that in the last days these situations are going to happen, and it's going to be all around about us. And that is the day and age that we're living in right now. Days that we sometimes say, wow, that's incredible. Did that just happen? Just this week, standing speaking to a 10-year-old boy, saying, I don't believe in God. There's no such thing as God. I enjoy finding out about the Bible, but there's no such thing as God. And that's the day and age that we live in. Another situation I can tell you about is a young lad coming along to a children's meeting after school in an area of Cove Bridge called Shawhead. He came along for 3 days in the week. On the fourth day, he said, I can't come back. Because my mum told me that you think that what she does, this has happened with that, isn't it? That what she does isn't right. I said, well, what does she do? Well, she lives with another woman. I said, well, the Bible says that isn't right. And that little boy was banned from hearing the gospel because of his mother's situation. And the day and age that we live in is a dreadful day. It's a dreadful situation. And the godlessness and the fact that people have no fear of God. I was standing in a shop this morning buying a Mother's Day present of all things, but anyway. Buying a Mother's Day present with my children, and the lady who was serving us 3 times in a row took the name of God in vain in front of my children, standing there. And people have no time, they have no care for God. But listen, when it comes to the gospel, we still have an opportunity, we still have a massive responsibility upon our shoulders to go out there and to preach the gospel. Not just to sit here and wait for people coming along to hear what we're going to say about the Bible, but go out there and bring them to come in to find out what we're going to say. That's our responsibility. That's the commission that was given, to go out and to preach the gospel. And that's the challenge that I have in my heart. I read somewhere, and I noted it down, I've got it down here, a bit of paper somewhere in my Bible. Here it is, listen to this. I don't know who said it, but it's good. A church that is waiting for sinners to visit their buildings is like a police station waiting for criminals to visit their station. And I think that's so true. We can become so bogged down, and we can become so used to sitting in our comfy halls. I'm not saying anything about your hall, but I'm talking about our mind and our mindset, that we forget that outside there are souls, as we just sang, are headed for hell in the lake of fire. That gives me a real challenge. That gives me a real bother. I want to think of four things tonight, just some of these verses here. First of all, in verse number one, I want to think of the attitude of the preacher, because every one of us, this should be our mindset as we go and tell people about Christ. This should be our mindset, that we're going to be marked by prayer. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that what? That they might be saved. And here's a man who is a real burden, and here's a man who is obviously and evidently before God, before he even goes and brings the gospel to anybody, he's before God, and he's praying for them, and he's casting them before God, and his attitude is, well, that they would come to Christ. Wouldn't that be great if that was their attitude in 2013? Now, I know that we long to see that sort of thing happening, and I know that we long to see souls streaming into our halls and sitting under the sound of the gospel and through the work of the Spirit, trusting Christ as their Saviour, and we long for these things, but I wonder how long we pray for these things. I don't know about you, but I think if we could round every single person in the hall tonight, and I would do it by the way, and ask you, what would be the one thing you would change in your life as a believer? I think this would be it. My prayer life. I think it would be. How often do we live? I'm speaking to myself. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone else. I'm speaking to myself. How often do I let it slip? Next week, tomorrow, I start 2 weeks gospel meetings in Plains. And how long have I been before God praying? What? Pray for what? That the villagers from Plains might be saved, that they might come to Christ. And I think it all stems from our relationship with God, and all the whole thing has a knock-on effect. Our relationship with God, our attitude before God with regard to the preaching and the souls that are going to come in contact with God. And I'm not saying that it all hinges on us, because, well, we are these earthen vessels. I love to think of it, isn't that tremendous? Earthen vessels. These things that were smashed just to get into the contents. Far more valuable inside than the things we're on the outside. And that's what we are. And yet, our attitude matters so much. Our attitude before God matters so much. Can I ask you tonight, what is our attitude when it comes to the gospel? Are we fully into having the gospel preached in our area? Now, there are so many ways of preaching the gospel, aren't there? I was thinking, looking through the Acts of the Apostles back home in Plains in our Bible reading, and we would go rather slow, and we spent rather long in Acts chapter 1, and I think we could be there for a good while. But what does it say? What's the commission for every single person sitting in this hall? You have to be witnesses. Every one of us. Witnesses to what? But witnesses to Christ. And a witness is something that there is no gift required for witnessing. Everyone who is saved, who is born again, who is in the body of Christ, we are all called to be witnesses. And what's the idea of being a witness? A witness, basically, you read the word for witness in Acts 1 and verse 8 and 9, is this. It's the same word as we get the word martyr from. Basically, you say it as it is. These people who were martyred, these tremendous men and women of God who were martyred for the sake of the gospel, that's why they were martyred, because they said it as it is. There was no airs and graces in the sense, there was nothing added to or taken away. It was Christ that was preached. And that's our responsibility as witnesses, to go and to tell and to speak to everyone. So the attitude of the preacher is for souls to be saved, and they're before God, and he's laying hold on God that God may move and the Spirit may move and souls would come to Christ for salvation. But verse number 12 tells us that there's an audience to preach to. Most definitely, in 2013, there is a huge audience to preach to. Sometimes I think we're very good at negativity, aren't we? Maybe it's not so much up in Fife, but I know back home in Lanarkshire, everything is negative. We just had a week of Bible exhibition in place. 400 children standing under the sound of the gospel for 45 minutes. I think we had more last time than had the exhibition. I know that was a small class we had today, wasn't it? Listen, 400 souls have heard the gospel being preached. There's an audience to preach to. Look outside us. Look at our schools. Look at our town centres. Look at our neighbours. Look at our friends. Look at our families. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The audience to preach to is there. The audience is there. The audience is vast. The people that we know, I often like to challenge myself with this. How many times this week, this is actually a lot of negativity, I'm sorry about this, anyway, how many times this week have I not preach the gospel? How many times this week have I not brought Christ to somebody? How many times, we know what it's like. Someone speaks to us and we pass by and the opportunity is gone and we forget about it. And the thing is just funny. My car was in for a service this week. I mean, thought about the garage to pick it up. And waiting for it to be given to us, the keys to be given to us. Clean, hopefully, because my wife doesn't like doing it. A chap comes down and he stands at the counter and he is getting putting his car in as well. And he asked who the nearest closest restaurant is, and he was given directions to it. And he got back out to the car park, and he had to set off on a mile and a half walk to go to the restaurant. I said, jump in here, sir, and I'll give you a lift up to the restaurant. And for that mile and a half, I threw a set of traffic lights. We made small talk. Did I preach Christ? I didn't. I'm ashamed. I didn't. And the audience is there. There are people that we come in contact with every day of our life. And Paul is not saying, he knows full well that there's a difference between the Jew and the Greek. And he knows full well that there's a distinction. That's the idea of the word here. But when it comes to the gospel, there is no distinction. It's saved or it's lost. It's with God or without God. And that's it. And as we look out sometimes with eyes and with glasses, so to speak, that we can categorize people. And we won't speak to that person or that person there. But listen, there's an audience that preaches to it, right? I see that happening all the time. There is an audience to preach to. You spend a week in a school, and there is 300 children just waiting to hear what you're going to say. You're going to a secondary school, and they're ready to bombard you with questions. They're ready to throw questions at you. For example, on the subject of baptism, a little girl began to question in front of her whole class, a 15-year-old girl. She was sprinkled when she was just a girl at school, just a girl in church. And she wanted to know, in front of all her friends, had her parents done wrong with her? And then began to ask me about being baptized and what it means. And she was going to go back home and speak to her parents. And you tell me there's not an audience to preach to? I tell you, there's an audience to preach to. I think the problem is within. The problem is us. We don't fully realise the audience, we don't fully see the audience, or we kind of categorise it. I remember standing in an open air meeting, and there was a group of drunk men came down the road. And as they came down, some people began to speak to them, and the brother who was in the assembly there turned and walked away and said this, "Wouldn't waste my time." Isn't that sad? Is that where we are? There's an audience there. Let's not start looking to ourselves. Let's look out. Let's look up. Let's look out and see those who are perishing, those who are dead in trespasses and in sins, and fully realise that the audience is there. Whoever they are, there's no distinction. In the West of Scotland, we have a real problem with the Catholics and Protestants and so on. And everything would be categorised. But listen, when it comes to the gospel, no such thing. Let's go out and let's preach. So in verse number 12, there's the audience to preach. But in verse number 13, there's the aim of the preaching. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it great that Peter stands up in Acts 2 and says this very thing, and quotes what it says in the book of Joel. Three things, you know, a threefold cord can hold the rope, isn't it great? What a great verse this is. And that's so true. When it comes to the gospel, that's the aim. Our aim, my aim, as we serve the Lord, is for souls to come to Christ, is for souls to turn to Him for salvation. We're not looking for any gratification, we're not looking for anything to be given to us. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's exactly what it is. And the aim of the preaching is to bring souls to Christ, and just to sow one simple seed. It's lovely to see a seed being sown, isn't it? It's lovely to look and see the ground that it goes on. I do believe so well that the ground has nothing to do with us. I don't think that whatsoever. Our responsibility is to sow into any ground. And what happens in that ground is before God. If it's rough ground, if it's rocky ground, if it's stony ground, well, that's before Him. But we go and we sow the seed. And if it brings forth fruit, what a tremendous thing. And the aim of the preaching is for souls to come to Christ for salvation. And there are things that we can speak about. We can speak about a young girl in school. Like this young girl, I wouldn't mention her name, we're all together. Her father, she lived in the village of Plains, so the young girl was called Amy. Her father is an atheist. He refuses to allow her to come to any of the children's meetings. He refuses to allow her to come to any of the gospel meetings. But this young girl and her older sister are the most interested in the whole school. They're desperate to find out. They want to find out more about Christ. And so that's an amazing thing. And her dad, he would put this pressure upon them not to hear any of these things. And this young girl came into a lunch thing called that we have in the school in Plains and told Anna, my wife, I became a Christian that day. She trusted the Lord. She simply says, that's the aim of the preaching. And what I suppose, I don't think I slept for about two weeks afterwards, just wondering what was going to happen next with her father, etc. But according to that young girl, she has trusted Christ as her Saviour. Now, her mother was in the hall on Monday, actually, at the Bible exhibition, and you wouldn't meet a nicer person. And every time I see them, I have a pang in my heart, because I know that they are not allowed to come in contact with Christ. Well, what is the aim? Is for that young girl. It's to bring Christ to them, and through bringing Christ to them, that souls will trust Him as their Saviour. Now, I would never be in the situation of pushing anyone or trying to cram any salvation down anyone's throat. I would very much stand back from that, especially in school. You have to be very careful in school in how you present the gospel. Now, please don't think that the gospel is not being preached, because that's the aim of my preaching, is for souls to be saved. And that's the aim of my job, so to speak, is to go into the school and to bring Christ to these children. Now, I'll give you an idea of some of the subjects that we cover in school. These are some of the subjects. And then ask yourself, how did you get the gospel into this? Some of the schools ask us to go in and speak on topics like David and Daniel and Moses, life after death, miracles, parables, friends of the Lord Jesus, famous Scottish Christians. I'm not in that category yet. Maybe one day I will be, I don't know. But these are the topics that you're given to cover. Now, how can I go in and speak on these things without bringing Christ to them? How can I mention these various great stories and various mention great men without having this aim that they will come to Christ as well? So the aim of the preaching here, whosoever, anyone shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then verse 14, and with this we'll finish and move on, is the aim of the preaching, is the appeal for the preacher. Sorry, verse 14, the appeal for the preacher is the appeal for every single one of us in the room tonight. Every one of us. Appeal for us to preach. I don't know about you, but I think the phrase familiarity breeds contempt. I think that's such a true phrase sometimes with us, as for us as believers. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? That's a directly at us. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they ever going to hear unless we are exercised before God to go and to speak to them and to bring Christ before them and to bring them to the Saviour? How can you do it? I have to challenge every one of our hearts. At the start of a new week next week, we need to remember our Lord first of all, and then we go out and we spend a week of service. How do we spend a week of service? We spend it by bringing Christ to every single person we come across, or more than we did last week. That's all we can do. How shall they hear without a preacher? You think of these people that we know, that I know, that we come in contact with, and yet if the Lord were to come tonight, they'll be lost. Man, that gives me a real challenge. And that gives me a real burden when it comes to the gospel, because the appeal is there and the message is there, and all we can go and preach the gospel. Another A is the avenue for preaching in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 in 16 verse 9. A great door and effectual is opened unto me, and it is an avenue. And I have found that full well over the past number of years, actually. There's a real avenue. There's a real opening when it comes to the gospel. The avenue for me is in schools. The avenue for me is speaking to young people. The avenue for you will be something totally different. Will be without a doubt. But the avenue is here for the gospel to be preached. Let me finish with a question. Are we doing it? Are we preaching? What's our attitude in 2013? Are we going to the stage where we say, well, we're just waiting. I suppose the Thessalonians, we're just waiting for the Lord to come. We're not always pointing to uptight. Listen, there are souls who are perishing. What's the aim? It's for souls to come to Christ. Let me just speak a little while about the avenue. I want to speak a little while about the report of some of the work that's been happening over the past few months, I suppose, in the gospel in the area where I come from. You know, from my accent, that I come from a place called Lanarkshire, which is really the centre of the universe, especially the village of Plains. That's the centre of the centre, so to speak. And Plains is just where it is. It's right in between Glasgow and Edinburgh. And that's where the Lord has called us to work in that area. A beautiful thing this week, we had all these children coming along to the Bible exhibition in Plains, and all it's the schools that I'll be going to most frequently, and some of the children who were there in primary 7, I've been telling them Bible stories since they were in nursery school, 8 or 9 years, and it was just it gave me a tremendous thrill actually, to stand there, and they know them all by name, and they all know me. In fact, some of them even, I went to the swimming pool on Monday with my other children, and they're even in the swimming pool shouting at my name. I went to the play area today with the children, and the teacher, one of the classroom assistants, was in the play area as well. So it's good to get to the situation where people know who you are, and people know what you do, and people know what you believe. It's a tremendous thing, and I find that a great encouragement as we labour amongst the schools. Now, my work mainly would take place among schoolwork. I would also work with the Bible exhibition, and I also work with my bus that I have too, which I'll speak a bit more about later, and also a lot of times in meetings, gospel meetings, and also children meetings as well. 2012 for me was quite a hectic year. We had 12 weeks of Bible exhibition, there was 20 weeks of meetings and camps throughout the whole year, and unfortunately, well, that sounds very bad. I was away for about 23 weeks of the year, which was quite a lot of time in a way, and this year I've made a decision before God to stay at home a lot more and to work more in my local area, because I was away so often last year. Number one, the schoolwork began to suffer because I wasn't there to fulfil the schoolwork, and I suppose you could say that family life began to suffer as well, because I was away from home and away from Anna and the children for that time as well. Of course, they're my responsibility before God. So pray for the work, and pray for the work if it breaks out in the following areas. I'll speak to you first of all about the schoolwork, because I do enjoy the school, and I'll give you a bit of a background about myself. You may have guessed, or you will have guessed, that when I was at school, I hated it. I was not very academic whatsoever. The best day for me was Friday, 3 o'clock, greatest thing ever. School was over for the week, and that was me. I was free to go and get away from school for the week. I hope no one hears like that, okay? That's especially you want young ones up the back. Don't go like that, okay? Well, amazingly enough, that's the avenue that God has called me to work in. It's within these schools. And the schoolwork for me has really opened up, and it began to get bigger and bigger over the past few years. I began to go into schools about, it's almost 13 years ago actually now, I began to do some schoolwork in our local area, and really it began to spread and it began to increase. Word of mouth began to pass that I would hear some chap who's happy to come into the school and take a Bible study, and I began to go and visit more and more schools. Now, before I was commended, I worked for my father, so the great thing is, I was running at home, working for my father, who was also an overseer in the assembly where I was, so it's very hard for him for me to go. But I went to him and said, can I get more time off to go and do some schoolwork? So he couldn't really say no, so that was good. So I had plenty of time off to go in and to visit these various different schools. Now, there is a real opening in schools. I'll mention this little paragraph I've noted down here. Some of you here, like Henry, you can ignore this, but it's okay. This is from the Scottish government regarding people like myself going to schools and speaking about Christ. Listen to this. Scottish ministers, that's ministers from Parliament, Scottish ministers value the important and varied contributions that chaplains and other faith group leaders make to life of school. For example, in their involvement in religious observance, acts of worship, religious and moral education, and a broader pastoral role. Headteachers are encouraged to engage in full discussion with chaplains in planning and implementation of religious observance. In supporting religious observance, chaplains' own religious stances should be respected, and they should not be asked or expected to compromise their own religious beliefs. So that's from whatever you think of Mr. Salmon, and I'm not too keen on him, but anyway, whatever you think of him, that comes from us all. That's what he said. He's allowing us to go into school and to speak about Christ. He's allowing us to go into school and stand up and say, I believe, as a Christian, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I think that's a phenomenal opportunity. When you think that, just this week coming up, in the will of God, next week, we will stand and we will speak to almost 900 children a week and stand there and speak about Christ. My Saviour died on the cross so I could be saved from my sin. Now that's a thrill. To be able to do that, and to have that backing, that we are allowed to do it by the law of our land, I think that's a great thing. Pray that that will continue. It may change at any point in time, and pray that this door, this avenue that has been opened by God, will remain open. Now, the school work for me kind of divides into four main areas: school assemblies, school classroom work, school lunchtime clubs, and also after school clubs as well. When I say the word club, don't say, oh dear, that's what folks are doing with a club. It's just an after school or a lunchtime chilling meeting. It's as simple as that. Nothing fancy, they just call it a club because they have clubs for everything these days. Let me speak to you for a little while about school assemblies. Now, you all sat under many school assemblies. And the schools in the area that I was going to, mainly in North Lanarkshire, sometimes into South, sometimes into Glasgow, in fact, sometimes even up to Fife, I have to get a different accent for that. But they would regularly have to have a Bible-based assembly. An assembly where a Bible story is spoken of and is told. Now, schools aren't particularly interested in doing it. Head teachers don't really want to do it. And chaplains of schools or ministers from Church of Scotland, they too are not very keen on doing it. So they're happy for me to go in and speak on these different things. In some schools you go there, they give you a topic. Some schools they go there, you do whatever you want. There is one school that I go to just along the road from where I live. I've been going there for 12, 13 years now, and we have a whole hour for the children. We go in, the head teacher sometimes starts us off, sometimes she doesn't start us off, and I would do some singing with them, we would do a Bible study with them, we'd do a Bible verse with them, and we'd do a quiz with them. We'd have a whole hour of children's meeting in the school, and the children need to be there. And that's a tremendous thrill to be able to do that. I do also think that it's kind of not particularly right, because it's me, one classroom assistant, and 350 teachers. Children. So you've got all these children there by myself, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, if there's a fire here, I think I'll be first at the door, to be honest. But we'll build up a kind of a relationship with the school that they allow us to have all these children with one person there supervising. And it's a good thing, because when, I don't know if we're a head teacher school, but yeah, I apologise in advance. Sometimes with a head teacher being there present at the school, you have to be a little bit sensitive and careful in a sense in how you put things. But with no one there to kind of fill you up on what you've said, you've got a few days to go to speak to these children on whatever topic and however deep you want to go as well. Now, I would always, in school, I would always speak of sin. I would always speak of punishment for sin, almost not where it's going to be, because I think I have to be delicate in a sense for young people with that, especially in a school setting, in a meeting, in our own ground, so to speak, is different. I would always speak of a Saviour who has died so we can be saved from our sin, and I would always speak of heaven, a home in heaven that is there for us if we want to be there. I would always say that the basis of every single time I was there in a school, that's what I would speak about, because if it was not, that's not happening, then really there's not much point in being there, I don't think. So that's the aim. That's what I would do when I'm going to the school. So I'm basically a school assembly is a school assembly. You never know what's going to come next. You can be 10 minutes, you have half an hour. Sometimes though, the head teacher likes to put in their tuppence work as well, because it's called religious and moral education. I'll give an example. One day I was in a school, I was speaking on David and Goliath. I was speaking on you think about a catchy title so they can get the moral edge, the moral lesson as well. And I was speaking about bullying and being a coward, etc., etc. And I finished speaking, you'll know the story of David and Goliath, I'm sure you know what happened in the end, that's fine. If you don't, we'll tell you then. I got up at the end, I sat down at the end, the head teacher stood up and said, thank you very much, Graham, we enjoyed that. Now just remember, children, when you go outside, don't be throwing stones at each other. I felt like standing up and said, yes, and also, don't chop each other's heads off either, because that wouldn't be right to do. So they're always ready to put their little bit in on top of that as well. Another day I was in school, and I'd been speaking on the Passover the day before. I went into the school the next day to work in a classroom, and as I went into the school, a mother came out of the head teacher's office, and the head teacher said, Graham, can I have a word, please? Now, that brings back bad memories for me. Being called to the head teacher's office just brings back many a memory. However, she said this, that parent was just up because her daughter was a little bit upset last night. She's the oldest in her family, and you were telling her that the oldest in the family was going to die, etc. And she was just a little bit upset and a little bit worried. So you have to kind of watch what you say and watch how you put things in. Thankfully, I actually got the most totally correct, but anyway. But for yourself, I'm able to go to speak. Roughly, there's about 40 or so schools in our area. It could be a lot more, to be honest. The scope is so wide with looking at the schools. I just got a phone call the other week from a new school just in York Hill, just down the road from us. Again, never been touched with regard to the gospel. Head teacher phoned up and said, Graham, can you go into the school? They want you to come and do some classroom. So I entered the school and sat down with the head teacher, who turned out, caught me many years ago in Glenmaver School. And then she said, I think you may have sent a few Valentine's cards to my daughter, actually, which is a little bit embarrassing. But she had opened up the school, and was able to go into the school. I was there for 2 days last week, and next week I'm there for 2 days, and the week after that I'm spending the whole day in the school. I've got an assembly with all the school in the morning, and in the afternoon I have to go and do 3 classrooms. That's from nothing. They have to go in and spend a whole day, 3 days in the last 3 weeks, preaching the gospel, preaching about Christ in her school from not a single thing. So pray for the school that's in the work, and pray for the school we're going about that we're going to, and the school that we don't touch yet, but we plan to touch if the Lord wills as well. So school attendance, also school classroom work. I thoroughly enjoy classroom work. These are just some of the topics that I've covered in the classes. Now, with classroom work, you're given an hour with the children, so you can, I was going to say, you can do what you like, but you know what I mean when I say that. How you split that time is up to yourself. You know that I would speak for about half an hour, have a little quiz with them, and then leave them a little worksheet, and that goes towards their curriculum, their portfolio for the curriculum. These are some of the topics I've covered since, I suppose, since October time of last year. Moses, Daniel, David, Judaism, miracles, parables, disciples. And we spent a lot of time on Titanic last year as well. That's me being asked to go to the school to speak on these topics. I was in a school on Friday, and to the assembly, one of the teachers was walking out and she said, would you could you come into my class and speak on David and Goliath and David and Jonathan for the next 2 weeks? I didn't have much time, and I only had one slot left. I hate saying no in that situation, and yet she was so happy for me to go in and to speak on these things. We're able to do that. That's just an off-the-cuff comment. Come along and speak to David. So pray for these various different topics. These are just some of the topics that we touched in the school. Last year, a major big thing last year, of course, was the Titanic story, and John Harper, of course, and we spent a lot of time in school speaking on John Harper. It was a local interest thing, so that was good. I want to tell you about the secondary school. I love this. We spoke to about 6,000 children on the topic of Titanic and John Harper. If you know what happened in Titanic, it sunk at the end. That's what happened, just in case somebody knew that. Anyway, the head of RE, who is a believer from my old secondary school, phoned up and said, "Graham, we've heard about the Titanic topic you're doing. Would you be able to come and do that in our school?" I said, "We would love to have you in our school to do that." I said, "Well, I would love to come to your school." She said, "We've only got one topic to give, or one topic to cover for RE, and that topic is life after death." She said, "Could you fit John Harper and Titanic into life after death?" I think to myself, what a great opportunity. I said, "Well, I'll give it a good go." And then along, and 1,200 children, I get one classroom, and class by class, each one of these children, an hour a class, with, or 53 minutes per class, speaking on the topic, Titanic and John Harper. And how can we speak on that man without speaking about his faith? And some of the questions at the end, but if you're telling them that God loves us, why would that sort of thing happen? And what about that man, John Harper? Who would he be just now? I think he'll be in heaven because he believed. That's some of the questions that the children asked towards the end. So, again, it opened up a broader scope for some conversation and for discussion. So, pray for the school class, we'll work. This year, the big push, I suppose we're going to call it, is for David Livingstone. You know, it's 200 years of the birth of David Livingstone. Again, another Lanarkshire man, but I'm not too going to Lanarkshire. And the schools are very, very keen to have something done in David Livingstone. This month, the month of March, I'm going to be visiting 38 different classes to speak on the topic of David Livingstone again. How can I speak in him without speaking in his faith? How can I speak in him without speaking on the purpose of him going into Africa to spread the gospel? So, again, it's giving us a great opportunity. That second school I was telling you about, Mrs. Bond, the head of RE, she said to me at the last meeting I was here, she said, "I think we want to have David Livingstone in the school this year," she said, "but not physically, of course, you know that." She said, "but it doesn't really tie into our curriculum." She said, "but I'm trying to change things a little bit so we can have you and you can do the whole show again because we want to find out the David Livingstone." So that, it doesn't fit them. It doesn't suit them, but they still want to have it in the school. So pray for that work in the secondary school too. And pray for the school classroom work. I thoroughly enjoy the classes because you're spending there's more kind of input with the children, you're spending more time with them, you can get some better conversations, and also with the staff here as well. Let me tell you about my first ever experience of classroom work just before I move on. I was asked to go in the school staff room. Just commend you, sitting in a school staff room, it's amazing what disgusting school staff rooms are telling you. But anyway, sitting there, and a teacher comes and says, "Daniel, what do you think of the subject of Daniel?" There's no questions. A great subject. He says, "Would you be willing to come into our class and do it over 5 weeks?" I said, "Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem at all." So, first time went along, then I went to our classroom, came to the 5 class, and standing up in the corner was a mature student teacher. His name was Mr. Frampton, Steve Frampton, and it's amazing that name sticks in your mind. And all the time, I spoke for about I spoke a half an hour, speaking on Daniel being taken captive, etc. And he sat with this look of utter scepticism on his face. Now, I'm from Lanarkshire, that sort of thing gets me going a little bit. It gets me wound up a little bit. And maybe I was a little bit more direct in the gospel than I usually would have been. But anyway, the next week was kind of the same. The third week he came and said, I'm due to be finished. I said, I've never heard these stories. I thought it was with David and Daniel and the lion's den. That's the last thing. That's the only thing I knew about Daniel. She said, I can't wait to hear the next story you're going to tell us. And enough, the next week, there was sitting there and listening to the next story. She was getting the children and he was also speaking to the adults as well. It's amazing the lack of Bible knowledge amongst adults and amongst I'm sorry if you're a teacher, but even amongst teachers, I can say that because my wife's a teacher, so it's fine. And even amongst teachers as well, the lack of knowledge with regard to the scripture is quite a dreadful thing. But pray, especially for the classroom work. I thoroughly enjoy the classroom work. And I want to try and get more time to try and fit in a lot more classes. One of the topics we cover in classes is a local church. What is a local church? And sometimes the schools come into our hall, and you get a tour around the hall to see what it's like. They have the baptismal tank open, without water, of course, that's bad for the safety. And then the table's set for the breaking of bread, and they tell them what it's like to have a child reading and so on, the various different services. The last time I had it, the school couldn't come down because of the rain, so I went to the school. And amazingly enough, I was in that class working that day, and we get to speak on will be silent, the children say, but how come, this is the West of Scotland English, I apologise, how come when we come to your hall, women don't do anything? Well, I think they would disagree with that, but anyway, so we began to explain about women being silent in the church, etc. But you don't have pastors, do you? Well, how come at your Bible club, it's always you that does stuff? Again, I had to explain that there's people who have different roles, etc. within the church. But that was fine. The next week, it was our local, we don't have a church in Scotland, plays the one in Clapson just down the road. It was the Clapson minister who was coming up to speak to the children. And Anna told me when she went back home, she gave him a roasting. Graham was here last week, and he told us there's no such thing as women elders, and you told us about women elders. There's no such thing as stained glass windows in the Bible. Why did you get stained glass windows? And there's no such thing as pastors or chaplains or ministers, so why are you a minister? And thankfully, he doesn't actually speak to me very often now, but anyway, it's amazing what these children take in. It's amazing when you sow a seed, that our responsibility is fulfilled, of course, but what the Lord does with that. It can be truly remarkable. We pray for these children. You too pray for these children after the school classroom. Also remember the after school clubs and after school children's meeting. Basically, last year we were in these places. We were in Shawhead and Coatbridge and Glen Davis and Moss End and Caldercrooks as well. God willing, this year we're going to be back in most of these places. And we're also coming to Fife this year. We're in Bellingley for meetings last year for children's meetings. And our brother Alistair Basil and I are going to have bringing my bus up. We're going to be going to Cabin Den, and we're going to be going to King Lassie to have gospel meetings, and also to have children's meetings as well, and also an after school Bible club in one of the schools. Cabin Den, what did you speak about Cabin Den? I was there last year. When I was there for a week's meeting at Bellingley, I went into a few local schools, and in a Cabin Den, I was sitting speaking to the head teacher, and one of the no sisters said, tell the head teacher about your bus, or I began to explain about my bus, etc. I'll come to that in a minute, okay? I explained about my bus, etc. And she said, okay, she says, can you bring it to our school? I said, gee, that wouldn't be a problem. So I thought that was the end of it. She said, well, when are you going to come then? She said, I said, well, possibly next year. Yeah, but when next year? And she's looking through a diary. I said, well, maybe in June time or something next year. I had one assembly with the school, and that was all. In fact, this is even before the assembly. So I said, possibly we're coming in June next year. So that was fine. I said, oh, we'll drop you an email and we'll tell you when we're coming. So I had the assembly, and I just 2 weeks ago, on a Monday morning, emailed the head teacher from Cavendish School, and within an hour or two, she came back to me and said, that's great, we can't wait for you to come to the school. Bring your bus, park it in the playground, and you can have an after-school Bible club Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, and then you can take the assembly on the Friday, and that could be your prize given for the Bible club that you've had. And that was the opportunity. The door was open for us to go into the school. And then she says, in fact, come for 2 days as well, and spend 2 days in the school, and speak on David Livingston to the whole school too. So that's for one assembly. A whole week of the gospel being preached in the school, and also because of the gospel we do night time in the bus too. Anyway, I digress. After school Bible class, it's a great thing. Basically, we just have the children either come onto the bus and have the children meeting on there, or we have it in the school, and then the parents come and pick the children up from the end of the end of the after school Bible club. And more schools, they're very keen for these things to happen, to have these clubs, to have these children meetings. And I did wish we had more time to try and put them in, but this year, God willing, we're going to be back in all these places and a couple of other locations as well. We'll take the bus in and we'll have the children meetings on the bus. Now, don't be sitting there thinking to yourself, this sounds so easy. You just walk up to your school and knock on the door and say, by the way, I'm here to take your assembly. It didn't always work that way. I'll give you an example of how extreme it can be. This week we had a head teacher at a Bible exhibition. And she was there from a school called Salborough Primary. I don't know if you know where Salborough is, but there's the Back of Beyond, and Salborough is just a wee bit further past the Back of Beyond. That's where it is. It's a wild place. It's full of flying Salborough. That's really what it was. It's just beside Hart Hill, if you drive on the M8, just beside Hart Hill. That's where it is. We had some years of meetings there for the last 3 years, really, in the summertime, and the head teacher was never ever allowed me to go to the school, even to give it invitations. She said, no, I'm not taking them. So I tried again, this is 2 years ago, I tried again, and she said, okay, we'll take them and we'll leave them on the table. If the children want them, they can take them on the way away. Now, she left them on the table on the second last night of 2 weeks' meetings. So, very, very unresponsible. After that happened, I emailed her again. I wasn't brave enough to phone her. Emailed her again and said, can I come in for a school assembly? And she said, no. Now, I know we're defeating something. the whole year passed, we're back again in the summertime for another week's meeting, a couple of week's meetings. I emailed the head teacher and she said, that's fine, come into the school and give out your leaflets in the school. I thought, okay, that's good. Into the school, and I was around all the classes, spent 10 minutes in the class giving out invitations for the meetings. I think that's good, I want a role here. So I said, would you mind, how about if I came along for an assembly? Now, thankfully, she's in the same cluster as our head teacher in Plains Primary at a local school where our kids go to, and they've got a great relationship with the school in Plains. In fact, they even come down to our hall for their Christmas service. We had the whole school, parents, grandparents, they want to come into our hall, and we had an hour with the children for the Christmas service in the hall. So we have a good relationship now. The Plains head teacher had told the salary head teacher and said, this guy at Plains is really good. I shouldn't say that right now. So I asked the head teacher, is it okay if I come for an assembly? And she said, yeah, I've heard about you. Come for a trial assembly. So I went along for a trial assembly. Boy, was I good that day, I tell you. We had a trial assembly and it went very well. It went very, very well. So at the end of it, I said, now, would you mind if I could have come back for regular assemblies? That's fine, said, just come back every week. So we're going to go every week for an assembly. I was in one day and she asked me back for a cup of coffee into her room. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm going to walk. I went to her school for an after school Bible club. Oh, what's that? She said. So I told her, would you have that here? I said, I would. Stay there, she said. Off the room, comes back with a diary, puts through. Okay, first week in January, are you free that week? She said, yeah, I'm free that week. Okay. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, after school Bible club in the hall here. On the Friday, that can be your prize giving. Are you happy with that? She said. I almost got a hand off, to be honest. I said, I'm more than happy with that. That's from nothing. Not even invitations been given out. Now, I've been going back every month since then, for 2 years now almost. And on Wednesday, I came along to the Bible exhibition, and the head teacher came along as well. I should have written this down, but anyway. She sent me an email yesterday saying, thank you so much. We had a great time. The children loved every single minute of it, and we love being with you. You made us feel so welcome. You were so open with us as well, and thank you so much for the time that we spent together. And that's from not even allowing a leaflet in the school. And that where we had a whole week of the gospel every week, every year it happens. We go back again in the summertime to have a week on the bus. Last year I took the bus to the playground, and then 80% of the school came along to the after school level, but albeit there's only 102 in the school or something, but it still sounds good. 80% of the school came along to our Bible club that they had in the bus. So pray, especially for that school in Salvador. It's a small area, but it's a great opportunity in the gospel in there. So, school work. I believe it's tough for secondary school. I don't come to speak about secondary school. These are some of the topics we cover in secondary school. This year, we are covering, this school term, I suppose, in the summertime, we're going to be covering the Easter topic soon. We've done Christmas time, we've done the Holocaust Assembly, we've done the Remembrance Assembly, we've spoken on baptism, life after death, heaven and hell, religion, and then we're starting to do these things called chaplaincy interviews. Now, that's not being interviewed to be a chaplain. That's what they call you. If you go to the school, they call you a chaplain. I keep my shirt collar this way, so it's fine, don't worry. But we're going to have a one-to-one question and answer session with these children on these topics, life after death, what does the Bible say about abortion, about euthanasia, these various different topics. So good topics, good questions. And the questions they pick you with, you need to be on your toes, because they don't expect you slithering and stammering and saying, I don't know. They want an answer. They've got questions and they want answers. So pray for these interviews with the secondary school as well. Let me just speak about the bus for a few moments. I've got a Stephen said I have 5 minutes more. I suppose you wouldn't mind if it's 5 minutes more. I wouldn't make it any more than half an hour, so 5 minutes would be fine. But let me speak about the bus. Now, we used to have a portable hall that we used. To call it a portable hall was a bit of, it makes it sound good. In fact, it was a portable hall that our brother Jack had up here in Salem, I think it was up in Salem, that portable hall. It was a bright red porta cabin, but it was a good bright red porta cabin. And I went up around a variety of different places. We spent a lot of time in the east coast of Scotland, down Dunbar and Eyemouth and places like that. But the roof caved in and I had to be pensioned off, unfortunately. And I was always looking to have my own privacy to have meetings. I mean, we do a lot of, I suppose most of the children meetings we would have would be, you would call them pioneering work because there's no assemblies in the area. And sometimes we have them in schools, sometimes community centres. But I'll give you an example of how hard it is to get a week in a one location without various different other things interfering. I was in a place called the Robin, just beside the airway, in fact, and in the school there,
had a whole week in the school, but the problem was there was brownies on one night and there was guys the other night, and we were around different classes and different, 80 odd children coming along, a good week of children would be nice. But one night, the door burst open and in walks the head brownie, whatever you call a head brownie, I don't know, and said, you, get out, you go to the brownies. No, we have sent it to the Bible Club. No, get out, you go to the brownies. And the whole thing just descended into chaos. And I thought, I need to get my own premises to have these meetings in. So I almost had a hankering after a bus. And not bad, there's no bus fit. My grandfather was a bus mechanic, but that's why when it's in the jeans, I don't know, or the overalls, whatever you want to call it. But we thought about this for a long while, we prayed about it for a long while as well, and actually I was looking at Kenway a few years ago giving a report, and I mentioned this bus idea, and Brother Dave Henderson says, why don't you speak to Stagecoach? So I did. I sent an email to Stagecoach just asking for some advice, emailed Brian Souter's personal secretary. I told them what I did, told them what I was looking for, and then I put it at the bottom, this isn't a begging email, etc, etc. I kind of was, but anyway. And then 2 days later, I got a phone call from Brian Souter's secretary to say, director to say, you know, I believe you're looking for a bus. I said, I am. He says, we've got some service buses here, so we've got some mini buses here. I was wanting a big bus, I'm looking for a mini bus. He says, actually, I'm looking for a full-size bus, something like that. I don't know if you know what you know about buses, but anyway, I'm looking for a Volvo B10M. So a Volvo B10M, to give a technical part, it has no, the engine is in the middle, it's not at the rear, so there's no big hump at the end. So you walk up three steps and it's all in the one level right through. It's perfect. With the back, you can stand up, you can get your head hitting the ceiling, so it's fine. So I told him what I was looking for. He said, okay, we'll come back to you. The next week, I got a phone call to say, well, it didn't know what happened actually, to say, Graham, just to let you know, we'll source your Volvo B10M, it's yours, we'll paint it whatever colour you want, and we'll strip out all the seats out of it as well. I says, okay. And I'm not the emotional type of chap, to be honest, but I did have a lump in my throat. You know, that's how our God works. We pray for something, and the problem is our faith when we pray for something. And he provided the bus. I said, I asked him the question of the cost. He said, there's no cost. The cost is free. It's a gift to you by Mr. Souter's charity. He's got a charity sale to you to use for your work, whatever it is you want to do. So they gifted me the bus free of charge. Now, they don't give me a fuel card, unfortunately. That's the only problem. It's 8 miles to the yard. That's a big problem they have with it. But anyway, the seats are all stripped out inside, and we have got benches. Again, the very week I said yes to take the bus, only my family knew about it. And I got a phone call from Bell Silverstone with the same group. Our hall is closing, and we've got a whole load of benches here. Would you know anybody that could use these benches? I said, I do. I know exactly who could use them. And we put the benches in, and we take 2 inches off the end of them, and they're a perfect fit right into the passenger of the bus as well. So it's all kitted out. We get about 50 children onto the bus at a time, and they come onto the bus, they sit on the bus. It doesn't go, it doesn't travel anywhere with them on it. Much to their disappointment, to be honest. Thankfully, much to my happiness. With insurance costs, it's incredible, but they come on, they sit on the bus, and we have an hour's children meeting on the bus, and they get off and they're leaving, and they go back home. The great thing is we can go to various different locations in a short space of time as well. We can just pack up everything, get over here, all the electronic gear and stuff all attached to the ceiling, so we just arrive, plug the generator in, and away we go. We have a children's meeting with the children, so it's a great tour. My wife calls it my fifth child, actually. It is my fifth child. I do thoroughly enjoy it. I do enjoy it when it goes wrong, and I need to try and work on it, because I know nothing about them at all, to be honest. But anyway, it's a great thing to use in the gospel. And this year, we plan to use it on a good number of occasions. I think we have 10 different weeks we plan to use it for children's meetings and gospel meetings too. The first we're going to be in locally with the bus being after school clubs, and then we're going to be coming up to Fife and to King Lassie and also Cardenden as well. And then we're going down to Galston area for gospel meetings, etc. at the end of the year too. So it's going to be used for children's meetings and for gospel meetings too. And this year, last year I had planned to use it in the town centres as a base for giving out tracts. I got permission. It's amazing. It's amazing how it all works. I asked Adrian Coatbridge, the town centre manager, if they could drive the bus into the town centre and use that as a base for giving out tracts at Christmas time and to share tea and coffee and mince pies and stuff. And he says, I don't know. You pass the buck. I don't know. You need to speak to the road department. So I did. The two men who work in the road department, one of them, his wife is a secretary in the school in Glenelg, have been going for 13 years. The other one is a believer whose wife works in the school in Coventry. They came to the gospel meetings last time, the gospel meetings in Plains, and both said, not a problem, it's fine. As long as your bus is in first thing, you need to pay the dues, etc. Just give it to him as long as you want. So the man thought he was pretty. Push me to the side, but these two gentlemen, thankfully. Now, the problem was my grandfather died that week, so the idea of the bus was shelved. But God willing, this year we're going to go back and take the bus into the area and Coatbridge Town Centres. also planned, also have written to the Commonwealth Games Committee. That's the Commonwealth Games Committee in Glasgow, with idea of taking the bus into a different location for all the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow 2014 and using that as a base for giving out tracks as well. I've heard nothing from them. I imagine they'll come back with a big bill and what they're going to charge me for doing it, but I would quite like to do that, use it in the areas for giving out tracks and so on, just to get these out in the area that we're going to. So pay for that work too, with the bus. I don't want to speak to you about this, but it is an expensive business because of the various parts and stuff, but pay for the work with the bus. And if you get any idea to use it, if you want to use it for a town centre or so, that's fine, as long as it's not too far, because it takes ages to get there. Went to Inchdown with the teapot this year, and I thought I would never get there, to be honest. It's bad enough going in your car, but going in the bus is even worse. But so pay for the work that goes on in the bus. Also remember the work, the Bible exhibition. You know, the Bible exhibition is changing a little bit. Brother Robert Gibson was the last of our original helpers who passed away just recently. And because of my other constraints with time and other locations for the gospel work, it's difficult to try and fit everything in, so that I'm looking to try and get a couple of teams in different areas that they can send the exhibition down to these areas and the team work the exhibition for that week. I'll try and go when I can, but as you understand, the school work for me has been doing it a lot longer than the Bible exhibition, and I can't say no to all these schools that I plan. The school is booked up a year in advance, the assemblies are booked up a year in advance, so it's hard to say no. So pray for the exhibition. It is a great exhibition. Last year we were away for 12 weeks, we just finished the week in Plains, and it was a special week for me. I thoroughly enjoyed it because it was in my village, not my village, but you know what I mean when I say that, in our village, and children all know who we are, parents all know who we are, teachers all know who we are. It was a great time, a really enjoyable time spent at the Bible exhibition. But this year, we've also been in Newcombida in Ireland at the start of the year, and then we're in Northampton for 2 weeks, and then it's going across to Northern Ireland for 3 weeks. It's going to Apopka, it's going to Cardiff, it's going to Dundonald as well, and then it's coming. It's there in Northern Ireland, and it's another week over there, and it's going back to Scotland for the latter part of the year. It's not a year as often as it was. Again, that's basically because of me, because my time is taken elsewhere as well. Hopefully, a brother Jackson Patterson from Ballymagarry, has no relation to me at all. He helped with the exhibition in various locations, and he is able to run it when I'm not there too. So pray for the work with the Bible exhibition. Last year was some great occasions with it. Last year we were up in Wick for the first time with it. We were in Orkney for the first time in a good number of years. We were in Windhill. Windhill had it every 2 years, but there was a remarkable situation down there. We were asked to have the exhibition and then go into a school and speak in a school after the exhibition on the importance of the Bible. So I arrived at the school and they went to the reception, and I wondered what all these clocks were on the side of the wall. There were 15 or 16 different clocks, all set to different times. That's strange. And the headteacher began to tell us this is for all the different time zones of pupils at the school, where they're from and where their parents are from. And then we arrived at the assembly, and 300 children, and there were about 20 white children, and the rest were all coloured. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm here to speak on the importance of the Bible. The head teacher goes up and says, "Good morning, everyone." And the children say, "Good morning." And then she says the Arabic version, the Muslim version of "Good morning, everyone." And I think, oh dear, I'm here to speak on the importance of the Bible. So we stood up and we spoke for 15 minutes on the importance of the Bible and why it applied, and how it applied to us. The children were phenomenal. They were absolutely tremendous. Their response, their questions, their answers, their whole enthusiasm, it was a great thing. And I mean, you think of that. You think of me going into their homes and speaking in the Bible. It would just not happen. You think of me standing in the street corner and trying to speak in the Bible. You'd be arrested. I'd go into a mosque here and you wouldn't be arrested. You'd be shot probably, or lynched. I know you can't say that anyway. But I get able to stand in a school and speak on these things for 15 minutes. That's a great opportunity to have the children under the gospel for a good number of years. Good number of times, sorry. Now, I'll just speak of the camps very briefly before I finish. The 20 weeks of meetings and camps last year, we were in Orkney, we were in Wick, we were in Ballingrey, we had a good week in Plains as well, with a sort of holiday club, we were down in Bromborough. But I'll just speak about the camp work very quickly. The first camp we had was up in Shetland last summer. We left Shetland and came straight down to Tayside Camp at Fastway, the seniors. And then we had the juniors as well, and then we're across in Cardiff for a week of training meetings, and then down to Peterborough for the camp down there as well. This year it's going to be the same. We're going to be starting, and we're going to be in Fastlane for 3 weeks, and we're going to be queuing up from our food for 3 weeks. But anyway, we're going to be at Ayrshire camp, and then 2 weeks at senior camp, and then we're going to be in Cardiff again, and then back down in Peterborough. Now, I don't know what you think of the camp, but let me just finish with this story here. This is what I love about camp work. You take Shetland, for example. You go to Shetland camp, these children sit under the sound of the gospel for 3 meetings a day. You have some believers to sit in a ministry meeting for 3 meetings a day, and they're here with standing in. but yet these young ones sit for all that time under the sound of the gospel. And up in KSI Junior Camp last year, there was a little girl who came up from Obama, no background in the gospel whatsoever, and she was saved. She was saved in the toilet, away from everybody else. I love that fact. I wanted to get away from everybody else, and she trusted the Lord. That was great. Her mum came up to look and to see the little girl, and she ended, the mother, an unbeliever, ended up staying the night, and she ended up coming up the stairs to her debriefing and time of prayer, and she wept that whole time of prayer. And at the end, she said, "You know something? I now realise this is real. What you are doing with these children is a real thing." And she went away back home and spoke to her, and she left and went back home. 2 days later, in her own house, she trusted Christ as her Saviour. That lady is now baptised just before Christmas time, and the fellowship and the assembly in Kilmarnock. Not a background in the gospel whatsoever, and yet some people say, "Ah, it's just children." Well, it may well just be children. And you think of the knock-on effect. And children, you see it, very soon become adults, and very soon become elderly. And if the gospel is, if they're exposed to the gospel at that young age, you just never know what's going to happen. You just never know how long it's going to take for that to generate, for the spirit to move, and for that one to trust Christ as their Saviour. And pray for the work among the children, with the skills, with the bus, with the Bible exhibition, the various different children meetings, the various different camps, etc. This year we have 3 series of gospel meetings. We're in Plains for the next fortnight. We are in... We're in Glenburn, we're in 5 in June time, and we're in Glenburn in September time as well. And pray for all these various different aspects of souls will come to Christ and accept Him as a Saviour and trust Him. And they say it, and likes to say it. That's the remarkable thing. You look at how bad this generation is, and how bad this day and age is, and yet these lives are the same. There's only hope and trust in Jesus that we sing about in the gospel meeting sometime, and that's so true. And you think, of every one of these young people, 400 children last week, this week, next week, 900 children, not big in numbers, or whatever it may be. Exhibition, 650,000 children round that exhibition since it was built. Over 500,000 children. And think of the potential that is there for God in these young people. And it really is staggering. So pray that perhaps even this one would trust Christ as their Saviour. If I get this prayer and ask God for this. Father, we come to thy presence and we give thanks again for thy word. We think of the instruction that is there for us, we think of the challenge that is there for us. We pray once again for the gospel and think of those who have heard even today. There will be some who have received gospel tracts and invitations and messages in the spirit. Think of many, even those in Newcastle, who will receive seed sowing today. We pray for them and ask that even through this that they would trust Christ as their Saviour. We do thank you through for the assembly here and pray for them as they continue to serve thee and ask that they be with them and encourage them in the things of God. So we commend these things to thee now and pray for thy parting blessing later and give thanks too for this food and give thanks once more for our Saviour in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for allowing me an extra 5 minutes.
So we're all very thankful to the Lord for the word that we've heard tonight and for the reports of the Lord's word. By the refreshments of preparing, we joined in the word between 5, 7, 8. Saviour, thy divine life, thou gave his soul. Lord, should I also hold my Lord through thee, and love my soul with thou. My heart shall fill itself, I'm often bringing thee now. Something for thee, give me a faithful heart. Righteous to thee, that each departing day henceforth leads thee. Some work with love begun, some deed of kindness done, some one for sorts and one something for thee. 5, 7, 8. Thank you. Thank you.